It's now my honor to announce that the first ever virtual NFL draft is officially open. The Cincinnati Bengals are on the clock. The first pick in the 2020 draft, the Cincinnati Bengals select Joe Burrow, quarterback, LSU.
Welcome back to the Sports Desk. NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell there announcing the first pick of this year's draft, as he says, the first ever virtual draft conducted by the organisation. Obviously, we usually wouldn't cover American football, and plenty of us wouldn't have a clue about it or any interest even, but this was the only main live sporting event taking place this week, and it is one of the biggest sporting events over in the States, and plenty of people into it here in Europe and Limerick and Ireland as well. To explain this a bit better, I'm joined by freelance sports journalist Andrew Kinnean, who's an American football nut, it has to be said. And Andrew, firstly, good evening to you, and take us through what the draft is and I suppose what it means to the 32 teams in the league who are involved in it.
Hi, Luke. Yeah, effectively what this is a chance to get some young players on very team-friendly contracts. What I mean by that is when you come out of college and you're eligible to play in the NFL, you basically join a list of all your collegiate teammates and rivals from around the colleges, the various conferences, and the NFL teams come up in a certain order depending on how many wins they had the previous year, and in that order they will select the players they think are the best available to them. So roughly, the most important part of this is teams that were bad last year, or hypothetically bad, I suppose you could say, can go and get first preference on the best players coming out of college. So you have to play a number of years in college to be eligible to play in the NFL. And once that time frame is up, you can declare your eligibility for the NFL, or you can stay an extra year in college, potentially to maybe add to your value, to have, I suppose, more of your playing time on tape for teams to watch. The biggest aspect of getting rookies, like I said, is to get them on small money for 4 years. And if you're taken in the first round overall, you have an extension or an option to extend that for another year. So, for example, if you were the worst team last year in this situation, as you just heard, it was Cincinnati. They took Joe Burrow from LSU, so Louisiana State University. And he is probably going to be the best quarterback to come out of college in a number of years, probably since 2012 when Andrew Luck went to Indianapolis. So basically what they can do is they can tie him on a contract that would maybe pay him one third of the money he's going to be paid in 5 years' time, which allows, as people may or may not know, your salary cap to be fluid. So the purpose of a salary cap loop is to make sure it's an even playing field. So, for example, Manchester United can't spend all the guys' money compared to maybe Brighton and Hove Albion struggling with Tony Bloom's investment. So in theory, the NFL gives you a level playing field, and it's a combination of good coaching and really good mathematics and accounting to make sure that you get the best value possible. And the NFL draft is obviously central to that.
In terms of these players coming out of college, and obviously it's a big move for them, are they kind of ready-made to go straight into the NFL? I know they play in front of massive crowds in college, and college football is taken very seriously, but does it take them a little while to find their feet, or do you get maybe some rookies coming in and turning around the team straight away?
Yeah, it's highly variable. So generally, they take some time to adapt to the speed. And I think speed is the biggest one. There's certain nuances as well. So from a tactical perspective, obviously the coaches in the NFL are generally better than the ones in college. So it takes time to maybe make adjustments and to outsmart the schemes that they put in place. I think the youngest player that's come out in recent years was Tremaine Edmonds, who was a linebacker for the Buffalo Bills. He's just 19 years of age. And when you consider how young that is to come into a situation like the NFL, where you are a constant source of attention from media and from fans alike, it can be quite intimidating. But for example, if you play for Michigan in Ann Arbor, and you are every second week in your home games playing in front of 109,000 people, I think by the time you get to the NFL, you won't be fazed by the crowd. It's just a case of getting a skill set, refining it, and understanding, again, the speed and the nuances of the game. So certainly some players will be better prepared for it, and other players will take time. But that's, again, another really interesting aspect of the draft. Do you take the proven commodity, or do you draft for someone who you believe will have potential to be better than the proven commodity at that time?
Yeah, and it's bizarre as well, I suppose, going from a college atmosphere, and even though they're used to being playing in front of, as you said, nearly over 100,000 people, some of them, I suppose you get to the NFL, you get that big paycheck. They come from all different backgrounds, these players, and that can take some adjusting. I mean, there was a documentary about that broke where I think one of the American footballers had his first check framed. He didn't even know he was supposed to cash the check.
Yeah, it could be quite a rude awakening for them. Well, in a positive sense, I suppose. But it goes from being an athlete to being a professional, and I think that's the most difficult, progression for people. You have to look at it this way. You can imagine the ego that comes with being a professional footballer. Football player in America at that time. From about 5, you're playing flag football to then going into contact football, but little leagues. You play it in elementary school, you play it in high school, then you play it in college. And millions of people could know your name by the time you're 18 years of age. And that's a bizarre situation to find yourself in. So it's strange going from being such a highly touted prospect to being just a small fish in a big pond in the NFL. And I think some people struggle with the mental aspect of that. But again, the teams will conduct interviews, they'll conduct Wonderlic tests, which will give you a good kind of overview of someone's IQ and how they'll handle certain situations. Those interviews are notoriously strange in some of the questions that they ask. So they're trying to psychologically profile people as well as just evaluating what they're like on the field. So you get an overview of what players are like as people as well as just being players. So it's a very interesting process from top to bottom that really lasts their entire college career. So you're looking at maybe a scouting department looking at a player over the course of 4 years, which is incredible for it to all come down to. An environment like the NFL draft where you put 4 years of work into selecting one player.
Yeah, and talk about that, obviously, the 4 years into selecting one player. And usually the draft is, I suppose, conducted in front of packed arenas, in front of tens of thousands of fans, and you often see the footage of them going mental when their team makes a certain pick or even giving out when they don't make the pick that they want. This year, for obvious reasons, it's a virtual draft, as we heard a little while ago. Did that aspect go down well, and has it gone down well with fans as well?
It's a funny one. So it was meant to be in Las Vegas this year. I think, as you know, Luke, the ex-Oakland Raiders moved to Las Vegas. That's one element, I suppose, that people in Europe don't understand, is that franchises can move cities because we like to see as sports teams ingrained in the culture of a city or a county or whatever. But in America, it's not quite like that. So Las Vegas was meant to host it this year. It was meant to be a party atmosphere. Last year, it was in Nashville, and the atmosphere looked incredible. So this year, obviously, with it being virtual due to obvious reasons, it's gone down strangely well because people thought it would be lacking in atmosphere. But actually, I suppose the digital footprint of it has made it a bigger event than ever because so many people are watching it. And as you know, and realistically, the reason we're talking about it on air, Luke, is because there's nothing else on. At this moment in time, the amount of attention being put to it is outrageous. So people are kind of feeding off that. And the fact is, these discussions that maybe wouldn't happen all the time in public are now the source of every bit of entertainment someone has from a sporting sense. And I think where it's definitely lacked an atmosphere and maybe the diehards that can break down everything, now at least they can have a discussion with everyone they know about it, whereas before maybe it was niche.
Yeah, and I think it took a pandemic for you to get on the airwaves, Kinnean, as well.
Yeah, come here. I've been waiting for this for you.
I suppose for people who do know a bit more about it, we've kind of covered the bases in terms of explaining the draft and everything that goes in behind it. What way have you found the draft? Did it go the way that you thought it would? Obviously, Joe Burrow would have been an obvious pick, but in terms of the earlier round and in terms of the way that unfolded, did it go the way that you would have pictured?
So the first three picks were Joe Burrow to Cincinnati, like you said, Chase Young from Ohio State to Washington Redskins, and you had Jeff Okuda, who was a cornerback at Ohio State, and he went to the Detroit Lions. So people expected the first three to go where they did, and the New York Giants were seen as the turning point in the draft because they had pick four. And with pick four, people expected certain elements of positional value to come to play. But David Gettleman, who was the general manager, and again, I should just reiterate this, the general manager generally makes the decisions with these things. He's in charge of player personnel and what way they manage their cap space and stuff. he had a choice to make, maybe the best player available again, or potentially looking at an area of need. Because when you're putting together a team, obviously you can't do it in 1 year. It's 53 players. It's a process. Certain teams have been building Super Bowl level caliber teams for 10 years. If you think you're close to winning, you will potentially value positional values, so needs that you have. Say, for example, you have everything good except a quarterback. You'd be entitled to take a quarterback there, even though he might be worse than a linebacker that's available. Versus maybe some teams who are in total rebuild mode and they know that they're not going to be competitive for 5 years, maybe like Miami, who are just going to take position, or they're going to take the best players available because they think it gives them the best chance long term to be sustainable. In terms of the way it went, I would say that maybe with it being digital, there were less trades between teams. That's another thing to mention. It's quite fluid. So a team could potentially trade a later round pick or group them together to take someone's earlier round pick, depending on the value associated with them. So in the first 9 picks, there was expected to be trades from teams trying to get up or down boards to take players they liked, for fear that they would be taken before they had the chance to do so. But that really hadn't happened up until maybe, I think, pick 10. So it was strange to see that. So maybe that was an impact of the draft being relatively virtual. But by and large, I think teams that expected to take quarterbacks, I think it's probably the best area to focus on. They took quarterbacks. So Joe Burrow obviously went 1 overall. Tua Tagovailoa went to Miami at 5, and then Justin Herbert went at 6. Perhaps the storyline of the draft that's come out, and probably the most prominent talking point from this, is probably that Aaron Rodgers, who was quite outspoken, he's the Green Bay Packers quarterback, about needing support. So you talk about skill players that help him, those being receivers and running backs. Green Bay didn't take either of those positions with their first round pick. They actually took a quarterback, so to succeed Aaron Rodgers, which has really frustrated some Green Bay fans. And I'm sure Aaron Rodgers, who I think you know yourself, is probably a top 5 player in the league in terms of his position, he wouldn't be overly chuffed with that. So that was the big one to take away. That was probably the biggest shock of the first 2 days, yeah.
Yeah, and I'm a big Patriots fan, as you know, and you haven't mentioned them at all yet. Spent a lot of my life in Boston, so visiting my dad over there, so would have a big grow for them. How have they done? I think that you'd have to be living under a rock not to know that that Tom Brady has left the organisation. I mean, one of the biggest sports figures in the world, and he's gone to Tampa. You mentioned quarterbacks and people taking quarterbacks. Are they doing nothing about it? Have they replaced him? What way did their draft go?
Yeah, it's funny. So even now, I think everyone knows the story of Tom Brady, that he wasn't taken until near pick 200s back in 2000. So, I mean, you can get value in late rounds for quarterbacks, and, you know, potentially New England don't value any quarterback in this draft, which is fine. They've had Jarrett Stidham now in their system for 2 years, and he's learned off Brady and he's learned off Belichick. So they might be comfortable going into the season. They know they're probably not going to be Super Bowl contenders this year, as much as it might pain you to admit, Luke. But they are probably comfortable with their situation right now, and if a quarterback maybe falls into their lap in terms of value at later rounds, then they'll take him. I mean, obviously taking quarterbacks in later rounds has worked out for them in the past, so they won't be strangers to it. And I'm not going to second guess Bill Belichick. He's the last person in the world I'd probably second guess with these things.
Yeah.
So, you know, what New England have been doing is they've been very up and down with their picks, but they've been quite active. They traded out of the first round, which is It's normally a strange thing to do, but this year the quality in later rounds is far exceeding what it was in previous years. So perhaps he's valuing multiple picks over certain players because he thinks the value is there. It's hard to argue. I think New England probably end up with about 15 picks, which is outrageous. The standard number is 7, and the minimum number this year, I think, was 5. I think San Francisco had that. So they took a player I quite like out of Michigan. He's an edge player. His Uche is his name. And, I mean, he looks like a New England player. He's got a rough mentality. He's going to hit you really hard. But he's also got high IQ, which Bill Belichick obviously values over athletic ability. He said this countless times. So, they're having a very Patriots draft where they seemingly low-key, and then it turns out that you can coach these players to be Super Bowl prospects within 3 years, as is the Patriots way.
Yeah, and they got another bit of a slap in the face after that Brady thing, though, didn't they? Last week, I think, that Rob Gronkowski, obviously a tight end, a famous tight end, and one of the best in the business, retired last year, but was still obviously on contract with the Patriots. He's coming back now, but he's not going back to the Patriots. He said he'd only go to Tampa and join up with Tom Brady. So I think it It shows that he was more of a Tom Brady man than a New England Patriots Bill Belichick man, does it? I mean, Patriots fans will be going mad about that.
Yeah, they probably will, and perhaps justifiably too. There wasn't much in the way of draft compensation for that. Rob Gronkowski, as you know, kind of changed the game when he came in because of his size and his athletic ability. So often is the case in the NFL that the position Rob Gronkowski plays is tight end. So you're effectively a person that catches the ball and blocks on given occasions. But because you generally tend to be bigger than any defensive player on the outside, you're a mismatch. So you could throw the ball into the air for Rob Gronkowski, and because he's bigger and faster, he's more likely to catch the ball. So that was a massive part of how New England was so successful over the years. They just took a tight end, I believe, in the fourth round or the third round. I think it's Dalton Keene, more of a H-back tight end type fella. But it's going to be difficult for them to replace that production. Tight ends, like I said, have been such a big element of the way they play. But, you know, this could be a new era for them. You don't have Tom Brady. Maybe you want someone who's a bit more mobile. You can extend plays a bit more, maybe focus on your receivers. It's hard to know what New England are going to do, but you know yourself, Luke, to have the faith in Belichick and their front office with the craft. You just know they're plotting something, and it's going to end up better than the best laid plans that 31 other teams have had put down. So.
Yeah, just finally, Andrew, I mean, you were talking to me before about how regimented the schedule is for the NFL, and obviously they got the draft to go ahead virtually. In terms of the new season, are they still looking at full steam ahead and trying to get it played on time, or has there been much talk around that?
Yeah, so the funny thing was, I think Trump said recently that he was having an economic advisory board, so people that would be in charge of the economy when things were coming back. So one of the people on that the board he put together was Jerry Jones, who's the owner of the Dallas Cowboys, which is funny. So if there's any possible chance for the NFL to start on time to save money for NFL owners, you can bet your life it'll happen. Whether that's justified or not is not for me to say, but it seems like a small bit of a premature take from Jerry Jones to say that there will be a season going ahead, but they definitely can't conduct their usual activities. So, for example, the rookies who normally come in here, Luke, they will go and they'll spend time with the teams. They have what they call organized activities, so OTAs, organized team activities, to get the rookies kind of used to the scheme and to the people. Because, as you can imagine, if you can't have group activities, being close contact due to social distancing, trying to fit yourself into new systems and new cities even, is quite problematic for younger players. So anyone who made big splashes and didn't have large continuity coming into the season are really going to struggle. So if the season does go ahead, I'd imagine the first couple of weeks will be butchered and tough to watch as teams are slowly trying to get used to each other again. But as of now, it's probably got a decent shot at starting on time, whether we agree with that or not.